Please take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Trusted you had a Merry Christmas, and hope you get a little bit of rest this week. Maybe some of you are off, some are not, of course, but it's a good, enjoyable week, I hope, with family and friends and such coming up here on the new year, 2023, and it's hard to fathom 2023, isn't it? It doesn't seem like that should be a thing, but it is, and it's only a few days away. But 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians 1:1. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you. Note that phrase there. Brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith, and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. We'll leave off reading there. Dear Lord, help us now as we look at your scripture. Lord, I hope tonight that you'll allow me to express my heart a little this evening, and that you would encourage and strengthen. I'm thankful for Central Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the body of believers that you've assembled here together. In Jesus' name, amen. And Paul's epistles, he's, of course, writing to a targeted group, often, as in the case here, it's a church. He identifies it as the church of the Thessalonians. He often opened his letter, and there's two things that a lot of times you see him mention. One, and they're both kind of enlightening and revealing, they're also convicting, but one, he several times mentions praying for those who he wrote to. Can you imagine what Paul's prayer list looked like, and all the places that he had been, and the people that he had seen, the memories that he had with them, and he prayed for them. He prayed that God would help them in various ways. The second thing that you see mentioned, and this it's not unique here. I'm telling you, these are recurring themes that you see at the beginning of his epistles, is that he also often mentions his thankfulness for the recipients. He mentions how he is thankful for the ones that he is writing to. And here he sets a powerful example. He remembered those that had been a blessing to him, and he also appreciated those that were still in the battle with him. He was writing people that were still serving the Lord, and he was thankful for that. He was thankful for their testimony. You think about what Paul dealt with, and it's easy to get disenchanted with people as a whole, isn't it? I mean, you think there's some people that just, they think, you know, their whole life, they just want to avoid people. Why? Because people are people. You know, you just ask them that. But it's never a wise thing to let the bad behavior of everyone to distract you from the good deed of someone. You know, there's a lot of times even that, you know, Christian folks can become jaded because of what they deal with in the world, and in doing so, get so focused on what everybody else is doing wrong, they forget that, you know what, right around me, there's all sorts of people trying to do the right thing. I go to church with them. I see them sitting on a church pew, and yeah, it might not be the voting majority, and it might not be the cultural majority, but it's true, and there are people that are sincerely and diligently interested in doing right and doing what God would have them to do. And so it's easy to forget what we have around us. Paul wrote In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 8 through 10, I'll read it to you. He says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Paul never let what people had done to him cloud his thankfulness for those who had served with him. You know, he had every right in the world to just be mad. Sit down. You know, I'm going to take my toys and go home. He had every right in the world from a human standpoint. Don is a servant of the Lord. We know that. But from a human standpoint. But yet it's convicting, and it's revealing to me at how often he expressed his thanks for people. He didn't impute the bad behavior of some on everyone, and especially on those who are actively serving the Lord. No doubt Paul was thankful for many things. I mean, he had things that helped him along the way. And no doubt there was stuff that he was thankful for. I'm sure everybody in here, you know, you have things that you're thankful for. Maybe you got something for Christmas. That would be a good thing. Maybe you did. And you got something that you're thankful for. Boy, that's exciting, and that's a good thing. And it's good to be thankful for things. But ultimately, I want you to just think for a moment. We won't rest here for a while, but just think. Can you think of one thing that Paul said he's thankful for in the Scriptures? There's not a lot that you can point to. Not saying that there's not anything. Just saying his emphasis wasn't on thankful for things. Rather, ultimately, it was people that he seemed to most publicly express his thankfulness for. You know, when I read these passages, and I hear in a second that we're going to key in on this here in just a moment, I can't help but think about our church and how blessed I am to be able to serve alongside Central Baptist Church.
Amen.
A lot of times we're up here preaching, you know, trying to motivate, convict, you know. Thus, I guess I'm going to go easy on you tonight, but you deserve it. I've been thinking about the church family that God's given me. I'm thankful for the church that God's let me be a part of. And I want to talk more about that here as we go, but I want to make that very clear. I'm thankful for you. I've been blessed. I hear folks that, you know, grew up like I did. My dad was a pastor. You know that. And they grew up in the ministry in some way. And I've known folks that tell all sorts of horror stories and all sorts of negative things, and that's all that they have to talk about. And I hear that and I think, I am blessed for the people that God has given me to serve alongside and with and under at various parts of my life.
Amen.
I'm thankful. You've heard me talk a lot. I talk about where I came from a lot in my preaching. I do it on purpose because I'm thankful for those people. I'm thankful for people that I've mentioned by name from this pulpit that I think back upon, and I know how they were a blessing to the church, and I know how they were a blessing to the cause of Christ, and I know how a little church tucked up in a valley in Swannanoa, North Carolina, had a profound, and is still, from its fruit, still having a profound effect on the world and on the United States of America. There are multiple preachers even in this region that have been affected by them, just a little from everybody's measure, just a little group of people, and yet out of there, God has sent pastors, plural, and missionaries, and church planters, and all sorts of things. And why is that? Well, just a group of people that loved the Lord and tried to be faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
And then from there, of course, went to college for a little bit, but from there, the Lord brought me here. And I'm going to tell you a secret. You probably didn't know this. Down south, they say a lot of crazy things about the North. Okay, just you probably didn't know that. I don't want you to think bad of anyone, but sometimes they do. But you know, old Southern boy come up here to New England, and find out, you know what? God's people are God's people no matter where you're at.
Amen. True, true.
And the same spirit and the same desire and the same love for the Lord is represented here. And I think about this, you know, often. You know, somebody goes to Bible college and they're going out in the ministry. It's kind of different than other, I'll say, careers, if you will. It's a different kind of path. And I've known a lot of people that would give their right arm to be where God has allowed me to be. And I appreciate you. And I'm thankful for you. I can't help but think about you. I can't help but think about where God brought me up at and how he worked. Paul appreciated the people and he publicly stated it. And I think every now and then we should too.
Amen.
Everything here is there. Paul, you know, it's amazing how the Bible helps us to know even how to be thankful. And right here we see he tells us how to be thankful. Paul was clear that he was thankful. Look at it in verse number 3. He was thankful to God for them. He says in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you.
Sweet.
Let's never forget, it's a miraculous thing how God assembles a church. I don't know how else to describe that. I don't know if that's the most theologically precise way to state it, but it amazes me to see how God brings people together in a church. You have people from different backgrounds, and yet they come together as one. Why? Because they're in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have different testimonies of how people got saved and how they came to Christ, and yet they come together as one. Why? Because it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have different things. I'm from North. Grew up in North Carolina. I never was north of Baltimore, Maryland until I was in college. And the only reason I was in Baltimore, Maryland, I was in the airport in Baltimore, Maryland, when I was 12 years old on a trip to go to Iceland because there was a missionary from our church there. My dad was going to preach for him. And I flew over Greenland, actually, and from Baltimore, Maryland. And the one thing I remember, they called it out, looked out, and Greenland is not very green at all. I mean, it looked like Buffalo, New York is what it looked like. And so that was as far north as ever been. I grew up a ball fan. I like sports. I heard of the New England Patriots. I didn't know what that was. I just know it was a football team. I had no idea where they were or what that meant. And I stand back and marvel and think, how did God even get me here? You know, it's a miraculous thing when God puts together people to serve him. Paul understood that. He said, I thank my God for you. And then he understood, and this is why I want to take this time this evening. He understood it was his obligation. He says, I thank my God, that God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Because that he says, it is what I am bound to do it. It was not his obligation like, you know, when you're a kid, you remember when maybe you were a kid and someone gave you a gift and your mother made you write a thank you card. Did anybody ever have a mom like that? You think, oh, I don't want to sit here and do this, but I have to. That's not what he means here. He just, who these people were, compelled him to do it. He said, I have to open this up by saying thank you because they were deserving of it. We go through here, and there's some things just as I see this that reminds me of our church. And I think in this, there is a challenge as well, because I think as we go forward, we want to maintain these things. We want to keep these things. We want to expand and grow these things. First of all, I want you to see right here, as we go through with the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, I'm thankful for your faith. I'm thankful for your faith. Look in verse 3. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you as it is meet because that your faith groweth exceedingly. He said, your faith grows exceedingly. In a Wednesday night crowd like this, holiday week, I could probably say Hebrews 11:6 and have multiple people that could stand up and quote it. Let me read it to you. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We look at Hebrews 11, we think about the individuals there, but you realize that principle is kind of an all-consuming principle. Without faith, you can't please the Lord. That's true for a person, but it's also true for a church. If a church isn't acting in faith, it can't be pleasing to the Lord. And I'm thankful for your faith. Without people of faith, a church cannot please God. If only the pastor sees what needs to be done, then it will limit that which can be accomplished. Everything here, a church, a school, a college, it has had to have been accomplished and has to still be accomplished by faith. You know, people, you talk to people around us, and we get to do that from time to time. We have interactions with all sorts of people in the community, and they're kind of amazed a lot of time, I guess is the best way to put it, about what goes on here. They don't understand it. They don't fully get it, but wait, you have a school, and then there's a college, and in their mind, the way they think about it, and different ones think about it, they would think of it this way. Oh, you must have had this group of investors to come in and set you up financially. There must be, no, it's not that. It's by faith. It's been by faith.
Right. Yeah.
I've been here 18 plus years, and what I've seen over and over and over again, Pastor Townsley preached on it some on Sunday. He mentioned it, and he mentioned it often. I'm so glad he does. And I could add to that even other stories. He was talking about finances and balloon payments and things like that. I remember being at a time when years and years ago when I did the books, there was a week we hit, and I did the math on what it was going to take to get us through that week and thought, wow, this will be interesting. But God brought us through. And it was one of those things at the end of it, you go, don't really know how it happened, but we're here and God's working. And he does work by faith, and he's blessed by faith, and he's continued to bless by faith. And it's amazing to see it. But you know what? That doesn't happen because of the faith of one person. That happens because of the faith of a church.
Amen.
Combined. Paul said, I'm grateful for it. You know, sometimes faith doesn't even see the full result. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." You know, there's been, has happened over now a couple of years, this book mail out project. And there have been people after people sitting in the foyer out there throughout the week as they can come in, getting envelopes ready. It's tedious. You know, there's a lot of labels and a lot of books that go in there, going out to who knows where. Not even, in that sense, you could say, not even seeing the promise fulfilled, but knowing God's going to work. Every label, I think, in that way, has been by faith. Every book put in has been by faith. Every dollar given towards it has been by faith. And faith is different. It's not like putting it in the stock market where you expect to see a return. If not, there's a problem. No, faith understands we're going to do our best to please God and know that God will bring to pass what needs to come to pass, and know that God will bring the results, and know that God knows exactly what happens. And I'm convinced, I guess you can prove me wrong in heaven one day. That'll be about the only time. But I'm convinced that things like that, there are people that will be in heaven that trusted Christ as Savior that we never meet as a result of that little contact or that little touch. You know what will happen? I've been on the other end of this too many times. At some point, someone will witness to someone and they'll go, you know what? I got something in the mail a few years ago that got me to thinking. Or maybe there'll be somebody there. I believe one of the missionaries specially mentioned Brother Lundy, Sean Lundy in Brazil, if I remember right, his testimony is that he picked a gospel tract off of his windshield in a shopping mall and put it in the back of his car, later on read it, got saved, and has been a mission. I was reading one of his letters today, missionary in Brazil. Somebody did that by faith. They don't have a clue what happened. They didn't even see it come to pass. But you know what? That's what it is to live by faith, and it's exciting, isn't it? Just to believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can even imagine that he can do. Amen. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your faith. Faith realizes that there is a job to do and a God that can accomplish it through those who are willing vessels. You know, it's a common theme. Brother Balava mentioned it. In our own country, there's a need for laborers. In this section of the world, we grew up hearing about the lands, the Far East, the window there where nobody's heard the gospel, and that's all still very much needed. But now, right where we're at, there's a need for churches to and laborers and pastors, and we get calls all the time, and no matter what you do, it seems like you can't do enough. But you know what? Faith says, you know what? We're going to try. We're going to try to do what we can. And I'm thankful for your faith. Secondly, I'm thankful for your charity toward each other. Look at verse 3. Continue on. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." There was a quality at the church of the Thessalonians that Paul recognized. And this quality was not always present everywhere. If you know anything about the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I don't think he would have written the same thing to the Corinthian believers. But he noticed something about this church at Thessalonica, and it was that their charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, you're there for each other. You're helping each other. The Thessalonians cared for each other in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, he said endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I think that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 is what that looks like. A little while ago in the auditorium Sunday school class, we did a series on Ephesians. We talked about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's something that you do on purpose. That's something you work at. That's something that you think, how can I help someone else? How can I, at times even in Philippians chapter 2, esteeming other better than themselves? It's something that effort is required for. And I'm thankful for that in that spirit that I've seen here. Thankful for charity toward each other. To be our church embodies this quality. When people are sick, others rally around them. I saw Brother Johnson today and Mrs. Johnson in the hospital and talking about, oh man, this person came and saw us, and then this family came and now they've got a text here and a phone call there. You know how that's a great blessing. And then we're standing there, and the way it worked is they're there, and Brother Mark Mattis was about just a little more than a dozen rooms away, same floor. They were all there. So I told him, I said, "You're leaving here, going to go down the hall and see him." And he said, "Let's stop here. Why don't we pray for him right now?" And so we're there trying to be a blessing, trying to help them and Mrs. Johnson. They're going through that time of need, and brother, and what do they want to do? Pray for somebody else down the hall to be an encouragement to them and to be a blessing to them. And that's part of the charity abounding one toward another. I'm amazed over and over. Listen, I'm amazed that, you know, even my sister and her family coming here and the blessing that people were to them, it was overwhelming to them. How God used you in that way to be a blessing of charity toward other people. That's a quality. And again, I'll give a sports analogy. There's certain things sometimes you see in a ball player, any sport you look at and coach or whatever it might be. There's certain qualities where people say you can't teach that. Genuine charity one to another is not something you can just teach. It's something that comes from the fruit of the Spirit working within a person, yielding to Him. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I told you I was just wanting to thank you, but I will interject this. We have to always be on guard because Satan loves to interrupt that. He loves to find a way to get a wedge in and to keep that and to disturb that spirit. And he loves to stir up a little bit of animosity somewhere where somebody gets to thinking badly or poorly about someone else and to let that fester and grow. Let's guard against that so that what is said here can continue to be true. I'm thankful for your care of me and my family. It's humbling to serve with others who watch out for each other in this way. Galatians chapter number 6 talked about endeavoring to keep, he talked about bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm thankful for your charity toward each other. The third thing, verse number 4, I'm thankful for your patient endurance. He says, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. The more that our culture turns against Bible-believing Christianity, the more you begin to appreciate the faithfulness of God's people. And I don't pretend to be, you know, old, have the most experience in the world, but I've been around long enough now. And I'm every day of my life, even as a kid, was spent in some way connected to the ministry. And things are different now than they used to be. And people are challenged at a personal level more than they used to be. And as that happens, I'll tell you something that becomes more obvious to me is being thankful for people's faithfulness in spite of what's going on around us. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet of doom or any sort of prophet. I don't know which way it's going to go. God could send a revival, turn things around completely, or it could continue going in the way that it's going. But either way, what I have seen is that when people believe the Lord, there is something real to what they have. And it can't be scared away by a news media, or it's not easily scared away by cultural intimidation. And Paul saw this even in the believers at Thessalonica, that the tribulation they were dealing with, he uses that to even talk about some things prophetically and what they mean, of course, but he saw and he appreciated the fact that they kept on in spite of that pressure around them. They had a patience through tribulation. They weathered the storm. And they were willing to wait on God to do the work that needed to be done. He says, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience. I think patience in the Bible typically has to do with waiting on the Lord. That's what it has to do with, waiting on the Lord. In other words, when every bit of turbulence comes, it's not we bail out immediately, it's that we wait on the Lord for the Lord's direction. We don't run at every little clap of thunder. We wait on the Lord to provide the protection and the shelter. And we wait on the Lord to open the door. We wait on the Lord to work the miracle. And there's times where we've seen that as a church, but I know there are times personally that people have seen that in their lives personally, and they've been faithful through it all. And I'm thankful for that. You know, it'd be a sad thing to show up and nobody else was here. But you know, you show up and you just see faithful people just committed to doing the work of the Lord. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your patient endurance. On top of that cultural pressure, it's tough to take on the monumental task of training the next generation. It's not easy. You know, schools, whether it be a Christian school, whether it be a Bible college, that's not an easy thing to take on. But for a church to see the need and say, we're willing to do it, that's a testament to that patient endurance. You've shown that you're willing to do the hard thing in order to get the job done. The fourth thing, we'll go to chapter number 2 and we'll finish up here. I'm thankful for your focus on what will be. Look at verse number 13. He says, but we are bound to give thanks. See, this is why, you know, I thought about this. I thought, and this is a different kind of message, different way to preach. But then I'm looking at the Apostle Paul, as many times as he talked about it, not just here, but in other things, I thought, it obvious we should preach this way from time to time. He says, we are bound to give thanks, verse 13, alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Thessalonians were not like the unsaved world that had previously been described the system of the world. They were resistant to that mystery of iniquity. They were the benefactors of the sanctifying Spirit of truth that was a result of their acceptance of the gospel message. They were now pressing forward to what lay ahead. And Ephesians, look at Ephesians. Similar wording here, and it helps to shed light on what he's speaking of there. But in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you. There he is again, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In Ephesians 1 and in 2 Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter number 2, he is talking about their ability to focus on what lies ahead. It is that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ that comes ahead. It is the full realization of the inheritance that we have with him as joint heirs together with him. It is a glory that we will not fully see revealed here on this earth in this life, yet we press toward it knowing that we will see it one day. It is what keeps us going forward, even as Hebrews 11, which we all already read, talked about those who died in faith and they hadn't yet received the promise. But it is that same faith that says, you know what? We're not living for today. We're living for another day. We're living for tomorrow. It is that faith that provoked Abraham to go looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It is that kind of faith that looks forward that I'm thankful for, that I've seen over and over in Central Baptist Church. Amen. And you know what? We need to guard it. We need to protect it, because anybody can live for today, but it takes people of faith to live for the Lord's tomorrow. Right. And I'm thankful for you. Again, we've seen it. We've gone to Ephesians, seen it again. Paul said, I'm thankful for you. I just wanted you to know tonight, here at the end of a year, during a time of year where I think it's good to express things, people have given gifts and things, and I mean, you've always treated my family, you don't owe me anything, and you've always treated us so kindly, and we appreciate that, but I'm thankful for you. I can't imagine the state of Connecticut without Central Baptist Church, and I can't imagine the region of New England without Central Baptist Church, and a lot can be said about different people and things, and certainly what Pastor Townsley's done here is tremendous, but he would say the same thing. It's the body of believers that really give it the engine to make it run and to make it move, and we're thankful for you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.